Y'all ready, staff? All right, good morning. Let me call to order the Monday, January 31st meeting of the Police Judicial and Legal Committee. It's good to see everybody here. Item number two is approval of the minutes from our January 3rd meeting. Do we have a motion?
Move for approval.
Second.
We have a motion to approve and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Item three is public comments. Please come forward, 2-minute limit. Please give name and address, and please observe the 2 minutes, and come to the lectern. So go ahead. Good morning.
And audience, thank you for letting me come up here and speak. My name is Susan Simpson.
Let me see.
Is the mic on?
I don't think the mic's on. We want to make sure we get you in the...
Okay, that should be better.
Oh, great.
So good morning, my name is Susan Simpson. I live at 38 Saturday Road in Ion, and I live next door to the Ion Creek Club. But I've been living in Mount Pleasant since 1979, and I love it. It's grown tremendously. I miss the old Mount Pleasant. But anyway, thank y'all also for all your time in helping our great town. So I'm here to speak about the decimal level two that has happened all over Mount Pleasant, the old village. It's just everywhere with the influx of growth and people that are very greedy, to be quite honest. But when my husband and I built our house in 2000, and it's been 20 years, yeah, 2002, we were told the Creek Club was being built for our community. There was never a mention of weddings and loud noise at night and 3 or 4 nights in a row. And they said our boats could boat there. Well, that got taken away and we got down to the reserve parking lot. But to make a long story short, since I only have 2 minutes, it is quite loud on weekends at 9 o'clock. And when my kids were smaller, they could sometimes couldn't go to sleep. But my bedroom's on that side. And when the doors are coming out and all, it's very loud, and I've been talking to Mike Russo for quite some time about the noise level. And I would appreciate it very much if this committee considers the impact that citizens that have lived here for a long time, you know, how would you like it if you built what you thought was your final home, and it was so peaceful and quiet, and now on weekends, it's a lot of people taking up a lot of parking spaces, but more importantly is the noise. It's very disturbing, very disrespectful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please.
So many masks, so little time. Good morning, all, and I thank you again for your continued consideration of the noise ordinance. I've been here a number of times, Chris Coleman, 118 Pitt Street. And I just wanted to start with a 65 is too loud. You've heard that from me before. And I can tell you, having walked around town with my noise meter, that it is too loud. It's 70 on my TV when I normally listen to it at 17, that's loud. I wanted to talk, and there'll be a few other people talking about issues like this. There's another issue I ran across in this ordinance, and I'm going to illustrate it by a quick story. You're sitting on the back porch of your house. You're listening to Frank Sinatra. Some of us are old enough to remember Frank Sinatra. And all of a sudden, gangster rap starts coming in across from Shem Creek. And you're sitting there going, oh, gee, this is kind of loud. So you pull out your decibel meter and you measure 64. Well, not good enough. So you go, I can't stand this anymore. I'm going to go inside. So you go inside and you can still hear it. But here's the problem in the ordinance. The way it's currently written, it now says that it has to be plainly audible from inside your residence. Plainly audible is defined in the standard as normal conversation, which is 60 decibels. So you get to have somebody in your house with you singing gangster rap while you're at it. That needs to go, it needs to go in a hurry. Another point I wanted to mention, last time it was mentioned that the town did not have authority to fine in excess of $500. You do have the authority to suspend their business license, and I strongly urge you for multiple violators to put that in that ordinance so that anybody who is a bad actor can't keep doing it. There'll be a number of other people talking on other issues. I don't want to overstay my welcome, and I'll leave it to some of the other commenters.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm John Langley, 302 Bennett Street. There are some discrepancies in the ordinance as now written. For example, it says that the decibels will be measured from the perimeter of the emanating entity, so that it's coming from the periphery of the emanating entity. Is that commercial or is that residential? Obviously that's commercial, but if we live directly behind that or to the side of that, that higher level is accepted, whereby the folks who are in the backyard or in the house should be receiving it at the lower decibel level. So that's a discrepancy that needs to be worked out. I agree with Chris Coleman on the fact that 60 decibels seems to be much more reasonable as the limit for any residential property. As I said here before, we live in a symbiotic relationship between commercial and residential. That's the way it always has been in Mount Pleasant. It's the way it should be. Certainly, the commercial folks put up with a lot from us. We also put up with a lot from them. The malodorous dumpsters, the endless line of trucks being giving deliveries, the noises that come every morning, every evening. But what we're looking for is just a compromise. A compromise so that we don't interfere with the quality of life for those who choose to live by the commercial entities. We're not asking them to stop the music. We're not asking them to stop the noise. Just lower it so that we can enjoy our backyards, can enjoy our houses without 7 days a week, every single night, noise, noise, noise. Thank you.
Mike Tanke, 208 Venning Street. You have a copy of my comments here that not only gives general comments, but it delineates specifically in the ordinance the comments I'm making. I want to thank you all for your steady, measured, thorough, analytical, and comparative approach and your desire to gather all the facts and best practices similar to other towns and be aspirational as far as the towns we compare to. Pinehurst, Hilton Head, except and even on the East Coast, West Coast, Carmel by the Sea are in 40 to 45 for residential, for example. So 60 clearly is higher than those, and those have very high quality. The noise levels that are in there today are actually higher than they were when we first started. Some of them are higher than when we first started this delineation. I would encourage you with the new ordinance to take 90 to 120 days to look at the different noise levels in a scientific, comprehensive way so that we can then study it and pilot it before we move it to town council. I would suggest that we have mean noise levels. That's the average. Let's know what our levels are today. How can we go out and say, here's what we want to have when we don't know exactly what we know? I know you're out measuring them, but let's do it scientific in a quadrant by quadrant basis. Not all quadrants are the same. Mount Pleasant Town Center commercial is different from one loud noise emanator in the old village. Required install decimal measuring devices. It can be transmitted right to the police. Makes it easy. Allow citizens to do the same thing. Require noise buffers. Those are done at Lowndes Grove and other areas, and they seem to work well in those areas. Reconcile the ordinances and codes that we have between the special events and the boutique hotels and different things, so they're all consistent. And lastly, I tried to do my measurement. And let's measure not from inside. Throughout this whole thing, it talks about inside. You need to measure from outside, as we were talking about, because that's where we live so much of the time. So please look through this list. I think that I've also listed the 40 and 45 levels in the others, so thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Good morning, and thank you all for doing what you do. I'm Louisa Montgomery. I live on the corner of Church and Hebben Street. That's 404 Church Street. Dr. Langley, Johnny, addressed being a close neighbor. I'm not a close neighbor since I'm a block away. I'm on Hibbin, so I'm squished. I've got Shelter, I've got Sham Creek, I've got Post House. So it's got to be addressed for more than just the problem that the Tinkies and the Langleys have. I support a specific provision for license suspensions for repeat violators. What constitutes a repeat violator? I would say the third. I don't know what y'all think about it, but you put up with it for a little while, you would think about it very strongly. The people who make the noise should be the ones to control it. We shouldn't have to send one of our wonderful police force down there to go hag ride them. And y'all have brought this up before. So insist on the people who own the businesses to not only have it, but somebody besides the dishwasher or the cute snowflake who greets you at the front door, somebody should be the one to look at the noise meter and say, oh golly, we got to do something. All right, I would also say shorten the noise hours. The 10 p.m. drop to 55 might help once in a while. That's not me. The 10 p.m. drop to 55 might help once in a while in Sham Creek. No, it should be 9 p.m., not 10 p.m. Some of us go to bed at 9 and like to read, like our Bibles. We don't want rap music. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Mr. Mayor, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Lewis Horton, 138 Live Oak Drive. I just had an idea. I mentioned to Mike, and he said, I should suggest it to y'all. You know, we just had a HVAC unit put in our house, and lo and behold, you can set the temperature from afar. I'm thinking all these establishments that are producing the noise ought to have that wired to the police department. There ought to be a permanent log for each establishment to see if they're complying with the ordinances. And I know that's possible. I'm in the process of retiring, and phone messages come to my office, and they automatically go to my computer in a recording. So the technology is out there, and I don't think it's that expensive, and I think it would save, as Louisa said, the police, the individuals in the being affected having to call the police or make a complaint. It would just be on the log, and it should be public for everybody to know about. Thank you so much.
Next. Last call. Public comment. Anyone else? All right. Thank you all very much. This moves us to item number four, Police Matters Employee Years of Service Recognition. Chief?
Good morning, Mayor, committee members. This morning we have an opportunity to recognize Lieutenant Justin Hembry for 20 years of service. Lieutenant Hembry joined the police department in February of 2002. And as is the case with all of our officers, he began in the patrol unit. In short order, he found a passion and developed a passion for making drug cases, which led him to his first specialized assignment as a detective in the narcotics unit. He excelled at this. In 2004, he was selected to become the SWAT team member. That's probably his longest lasting passion. In 2008, he was promoted to corporal. and July of 2011, Justin was promoted to sergeant. He is a two-time recipient of the Supervisor of the Year in 2012 and 2013, supervised patrol teams, CIB, variety of units. In 2012, Justin took over as a SWAT team commander and has done an exceptional job navigating numerous tactical situations and critical responses. In 2015, he was promoted to the rank of lieutenant. During Lieutenant Hembree's tenure, he has served in patrol, criminal investigations, narcotics, and is currently our special operations supervisor. Justin, I want to thank you for being the type of lieutenant that every office in this agency can look to as a role model. Your leadership and dedication for the men and women of this department has been outstanding. On behalf of the citizens, thank you for your exceptional service, and I look forward to many more years.
Justin, thank you. I speak for all of us. Thank you very much. That concludes item number four on the agenda. Item number five is judicial matters. There are no agenda items. Item six, legal matters, update and possible action on ordinance to repeal and replace section 132.03 titled Noise of the Mount Pleasant Code of Ordinances. Who's going to take it from there?
Mayor, if you don't mind, I'll get us started. Good morning, Mayor and committee members. Again, this comes back. Last month, we reviewed the ordinance based on some changes that were made prior. A few council members were going to look into doing some field work with our police chief, and I believe some have done that, and there's still the opportunity to continue that field work. Just a few reminders as to where we are with this. The draft ordinance that you have, and as I've disclaimed several times, that was drafted by legal in an attempt to create a baseline, to create decibel levels that have been approved by courts. It absolutely correct that there are municipalities and other government entities out there with lower numbers. There are some with higher numbers, but that's based on court decisions and what courts have approved. At least we believe it's one of our goals to provide you with an ordinance that would withstand any challenges. Does not mean that this committee and our council cannot be more aggressive with those, but just so you understand the basis of those numbers, we are not sound experts by any means, and I think that is a significant discussion that should be part of this ordinance. We have also talked about the penalties and what our limits on penalties were, and just to be proactive, have heard at least the business license. We see that business license, at least that proposal, in several other areas of the town, and we can certainly do that if we wish to amend our business license code and provide notice at that point. So just to let you know, based on the comments, and we are certainly here to answer any questions moving forward.
Thank you very much. One of the things that would like to say as we discuss this is, I think there was a recent thing in the press. We've never talked about outlawing live music. That has never been on the table. We have talked about the meaning of the different areas, the different noise levels, and we've also talked about the fact that we are basically redoing an entire noise ordinance, basically after one ticket was issued, and this ordinance has been in place, 15 years, something like that. So as you can tell, we've been deliberative about this. We're not rushing into this. We don't, a bad ordinance is worse than no ordinance at all. I know I haven't had the opportunity yet to, not that it hadn't been extended, but I want to go out. I want to hear decibel levels. We can do that as a committee, but we can't do it as a council. Correct me if I'm wrong, but committees don't enact anything, but we can go out and gather research.
Yes, sir.
But if we were to have a quorum of council, that would be a separate issue. That would actually be a public meeting. So I'll open it up for discussion. I think we've heard a lot of things. I for one, want to go out and get a a feeling for the different noise levels at different areas, because as we've all discussed, you know, Pitt Street in the Old Village is very different than Town Center. There's no residences in Town Center. And we have residences, as we've heard today, Ion, the Old Village. We have residences over in the Long Point Bell Hall area as well. So there's a lot to think about as we do this, and I don't know which direction we're going in. Where did we leave it so far as the legality of having different different zones? Mr. Pagliarini?
Yes, sir. Mayor, that's been discussed by this committee. We have discussed it, and again, I think it's one of those issues that it is legal. We can draft a way for that to have it. Don't want to speak for the chief, but I think there's some concern with the enforcement end. I'll tell you from my end and how we designate that, and it's tied to zoning and those types of things. You're not out there in the field with a zoning map and those. So it does make it somewhat difficult to enforce. But I also understand that at least some of the commenters that are living in that nature of the residential that is right near commercial, it is of a particular concern. But of course, it would have to be a town-wide, meaning I do not recommend that we do it that in some areas and not others. Right. And I think that creates significant problems.
Okay. Chief Ritchie, I'd love your feedback on this.
Sure. I do have a question about the business license aspect of it. If that were to be put in as a level of multiple offenses, so you said you'd have to go back and amend the business license code. So that's another thing we have to take, I guess, do planning to make that amendment.
Yes, sir. I think that would be the best way to do it. Certainly the penalty would be reflected in this ordinance, but I would also think, and this is just initial thoughts, I think it would be best to modify our business license ordinance to provide that notice within the business license ordinance.
Sure, understood. I mean, I can understand where our folks here today are talking about fines, because at some point they may consider that a cost of doing business. I'll just pay the fine and move on. Where if you're looking at a business license, we're talking about much, much more money. So, I mean, legally, what have you seen with business license being revoked or suspended? Are there any issues or concerns there if this was something we did want to consider?
I don't know that there are any specific concerns as to whether we've seen it elsewhere. I'd have to ask our research expert, Mr. DeFord. He's saying, no, we have not seen that in the state of South Carolina. But I do not believe there would be any issues as long as we provide notice upon the issuance of those licenses and thus the corresponding amendment to our business license ordinance.
I have a question.
And Mr. Mayor, obviously, I do believe, sir, we have to have something that both our code enforcement and our police officers can take out in the field and enforce. Mm-hmm. Not be so ambiguous sometimes with them. What we had before. I still think there's some time. We needed some research that's going to have to be done to really understand 65 versus 60 inside my house, outside my house. So I think there's still a bit of work to do. And of course, at the end of the day, I want to hear from Chief Arnold, obviously. His folks would be out there handling this. And are we giving his people the best tool to go do their job?
Agreed. Yes, Ms. Whitley.
The question on the suspension of the business license, would this be something that's like a 5-day suspension, a 7-day? Like I guess my concern is, you know, you don't want to put someone out of business for the rest of the year or something. So.
Right, and that's something to discuss. First of all, we'd have to have a graduated, you know, for example, the third was mentioned, it'd be a suspension of a business license. There'd have to be a time period involved. We'd have to have proper notice. All of those are up for discussion. That is a severe penalty. Of course, any suspension for a day or 2 days would negatively affect a business open to the public. But all of those would be up for discussion by this committee. We don't generally use other jurisdictions for guidance, but of course we like to see perhaps what's worked and has not worked. And we are plowing new ground with that, at least in South Carolina, as far as we can see.
Are there other business license ramifications that we have for other businesses in case there are offenses? I mean, I'm thinking of things like beer and wine sales, maybe to minors. Are there?
Right.
And it might not be ours. It might be statewide. I'm just trying to get the nexus between a noise ordinance and the ramification of somebody's business license.
We're going to have to look at that, Mayor. That's something that we do need to look at. It's been, for example, discussed as part of our short-term rental ordinance. And as you know, in short-term rental with a business, if there's a required business license, and can we suspend it? We have not gone down that road, but we have researched this in that capacity. So none that I'm aware of that do not tie to the standard non-payment of and business practices that we have. STRs are the only ones that I can recollect that we have looked at.
Okay. So it wouldn't be unheard of that there would be a business license ramification tied to a violation of something else in an ordinance. Like you mentioned, short-term. I had forgotten that, short-term rentals, right?
They're correct. I agree with that statement.
Okay. Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, Mr. Go ahead. The only thing I just want to add with that, I just want us to be careful of unintended consequences also with such severe punishment. I want us to really look hard at that. We really made it a point in here with the fines. We're not going to be finding employees. It's going to be the owner of the business with the noise. If we're shutting down a business for several days, we get to be taking somebody's income that mm-hmm. we rely on. So I just want us to really think through this. And maybe, I mean, it's nice to have that as a possible tool to use, but I'll also look at everything else before we get there.
Right. And just to add to that, to answer Ms. Whitley's question, if I didn't, the time frame, it would have to be so many violations, I would think, within a particular period of time as well. And to the extent I didn't mention that, we can't leave that open-ended. We right. have to make that decision as well.
Right. I believe that's what we did with the short-term rentals.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah. Ms. Chapman.
Mr. Pagliarini, and I'm seeing in material we've been given that they are suggesting measurements outside the residence versus inside. I didn't know we had changed from taking the measurement at the property line to the inside of residence. Has our draft ordinance been changed?
Right, and I'll ask Mac to help, but no, sir. This version has not been changed since the last committee meeting. We got no changes from there, but I'll ask Mac to explain the rationale.
We've never proposed noise measurements from being taken inside.
That's what I thought.
That only applies specifically to subsection E, which is specific prohibitions, and that has to do with amplified sound. So if there is amplified music that is plainly audible, which is defined, then that would be a violation of the noise ordinance coming from an amplified sound source.
And where would that measurement be taken?
It would be based on, you wouldn't have a noise measurement for that. It would be a police officer coming to a complainant's house and coming into the house and determining if he or she can hear that sound, and if he can, then that would be a violation if it's coming from an amplified sound source. So that's specifically designed to address amplified music.
You wouldn't do that measurement outside to start with?
You could do that outside, but you would do it from outside of the business at the property line. But let's say that you're not above, or you're not making that decibel level, you're not getting that reading, then this would still provide a little bit more insulation for people that are inside of their home that can still hear the noise, even though it may not arise above that decibel level.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I think I get it. Like that, so if you, so it just provides some flexibility there. So if I'm in my home, I can hear it. It only measures at 60 decibels in my home, but it's plainly audible. It gives the officer some flexibility to actually enforce the noise ordinance.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, that's different than all noise measurements being required to be taken inside.
Right. They're
so
not.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay, any others? So let's kind of come to a consensus of where we're going to go from here. I think the committee, and I think we opened this to other members of council as well, did we not, to go out and hear decibel levels?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I think the invitation has come to do that, but we need to all make sure we do it. Right, okay. So we don't have anything to send to council next week, obviously. We're not at that point. And we need to get back to the business license info on that.
We'll be happy to prepare and send out for consideration what that would look like,
okay,
if that's what committee wishes for us to do.
Okay. And just one question, and if members of the public just nod your heads, is if we go out this time of year, is what we're going to hear and hear in decibels, is that going to be representative of the whole year, or is it less now than it is in the spring and summer? Or Chief, maybe you, I might ought to ask you. I just want to make sure that what we, you know, it used to be, everything used to be dead in this part of the state around January and February. And I was downtown Thursday night and it wasn't. It wasn't dead like it used to be. So just want to make sure that we're getting an accurate, that we, who don't deal with this all the time on council, are getting an accurate picture of what it's like out there when the entertainment venues are hopping.
So there's a difference between the frequency with which we would receive noise complaints, how often it's occurring, and then the volume. So
okay,
the volume in the wintertime, sound is, I'm not a sound person, but, you know, traveling over open water, temperature can affect how well it travels.
Mm-hmm.
So there's slight variances there.
Right.
By doing this, even if you do it now, I think you'll have an accurate representation of what they're experiencing.
How's your Friday night look?
Good.
All right, I'll send you a text message.
All right.
But the venues, especially like on Shim Creek, they're having the music outside now pretty much the same. They would be doing it in the spring and summer. Granted, maybe not as many nights a week.
Right. Okay. And we can check
okay
on that. We can also get a speaker and set it up and create the music ourselves so that you can hear it. So if they don't have a band that's amplified or whatever, we'll make it so that we can have that so you can hear it.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. All right. Anything else? I think we've narrowed some things down. We've got some info that's going to come back. I appreciate the citizens' input and the emails we've been getting. And like I said, no reason to rush anything and end up with a bad ordinance. All right. Anything else? There being nothing left on our agenda, we will adjourn.